Good morning, brothers and sisters. Last Sunday, the breaking news in Singapore. It is none other than the announcement about our newly elected president, Mr. Tharman Shanmugaratnam. We congratulate and wish him the best as he assumes office as our next president. As we know, before the election, there was much campaigning going on, and Singaporeans were all ears and eyes to study their candidate, to know their credentials. This is to ensure that the chosen candidate will be able to serve Singapore and Singaporeans well. When the sample count was released, it became quite obvious who is our newly elected president was likely to be. What captured my attention was the statement by Mr. Ng Kok Song, one of the three candidates of the election, who said, "I'm delighted for him and glad for him that he has indeed earned a mandate from the people of Singapore." It was gracious word after Mr. Ng conceded defeat to his rival, Mr. Tharman. The chosen one. Have we ever been chosen before? Have we ever been chosen before? It could be in school, when we are in the running of the role of the head prefect, or a place in a school's debating team. At work, who will our boss choose to be the next leader to lead your work group? To be chosen in the society means you need to have sufficient credentials, whether it is good organizational skills, good academic results, relevant experience, and so on. On the other hand, not being chosen means that we have not met those criteria or are not good enough for those who make the choice or cast the vote. Ouch. Ouch. That can hurt. It is not always a good feeling. But let me say, as we begin the sermon today, that our God does not choose in the same way as the world does. Let us go to God in prayer. Our God and Father, we give thanks for your sovereignty and your grace in our lives. As you have chosen us, we give thanks for that. And we ask, Lord, that you speak to us in today's message. This we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, Brother Ranfred gave us the background to the letter of Ephesians. He shared with us that God's plan, which is the gospel. He also mentioned about the benefit of knowing God's plan. In our passage today, we read about the benefit that we have from God in Christ. It is seen in Paul's praises to God for the blessing we inherit in Christ. Let me read the scriptures for us. It is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. If you have your Bible with you, may I ask that you reopen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan of for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The sermon title today is Blessed in Christ. Blessed in Christ. The passage tells us that we are blessed in Christ. I have divided the passage into three parts. First part is about being chosen by God in Christ. The concept of being chosen, predestined in Christ, can be seen throughout this passage, beginning from verse 4. He chose us in Christ to be blameless. In verse 5, in love he predestined us for adoption as son through Jesus Christ. And in verse 11, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. If I may sum them out, in love, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be adopted as his children, to be holy and blameless according to his purpose. Very lengthy statement, but it is important. It's important to know the concept of being chosen by God. I had said that God does not choose in the same way as the world does. In fact, he chooses in a completely opposite way. Our credentials are unimportant to him. In fact, we have no credential. We have no credential that can appeal to him. We have turned away from him. We have been sinful. Nothing that we do will ever prove how good we are, because we are sinful by nature. Yet, why would God still choose and adopt us as his children? Why? What did we do to deserve his blessing? This blessing of being chosen by God? Nothing. Nothing. It is purely out of God's love that we have been chosen. Absolutely nothing to do with our credential, not about how handsome or beautiful we are, not about how many likes in our social media, not about our achievement, and definitely not about what we can do to gain God's acceptance. There are many stories about people being chosen and adopted. Tian is one of them. She is 21 years old now. She was adopted at a tender age of 5 weeks. Her parents never hid the fact from her. And this is what she said in an interview. I have always known I was adopted. It makes me feel blessed. If I had not been adopted, I would not have this life. A nice family, a lovely home, and a safe country to live in. Many, like Tian, was adopted while they were very young. They did not make a choice to be adopted. It was the choice of their adoptive parents. They simply chose to love her even though she was not their biological child. Her parents were the one who initiated the relationship. Similarly, God chose and adopted us because of his love for us. It is God who initiated this love relationship with us. But very often, we, and especially Asians, struggle with such an idea. It is too good to be true. There is no such thing as a free lunch. No such thing as a free lunch. So we keep trying with our means to be accepted by God. Why? Because we are brought up to believe in meritocracy. We are brought up to believe in meritocracy, a system where selection and reward are based on merit, on how well we perform or how good we are. This is why many people think that only good people go to heaven when they die, while wicked people go to hell. They cannot accept the idea that a person who has been wicked all his life can end up in heaven. In fact, they are shocked at the idea altogether. I need to alert all of us that many, many Christians subconsciously continue to believe that they have to work hard to win God's love, approval, and acceptance. But that is not what the Bible teaches. So in God's point of view, being chosen is God's decision out of His love, out of His grace and His purpose. All we need to do is to respond, to accept and be thankful to God for the spiritual blessings. But Pastor Emmanuel, how do I know that I'm chosen by God? How do I know that I'm chosen by God? Are you chosen? Let us go to verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Here Paul clearly shows us who are chosen by God. The fact that we are listening in this morning show that you either already have a relationship with God or God is initiating a relationship with you and waiting for you to believe in Him. Look what Acts chapter 16 verse 14 says. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And in John chapter 6 verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It is God who does the work of opening a person's heart and drawing him or her to himself. In this way, a person can respond when hearing God's word, and when we believe, we know we are chosen. Exactly which way is it? Do we choose or are we chosen? Many scholars have debated this question for a very, very long time because the Bible seems to go in both directions that cannot be reconciled. But in a way, both are true. There is a popular doll illustration to help us understand about God's choice for us. It was inspired by a quote from D.L. Moody. It is said that written on the outside of the gate of heaven are the words, "Please, please come in." And after entering on the other side of that gate, which you can read from the inside, it is written, "You have been chosen. You have been chosen." This illustration shows us that God has a plan for us, and when we hear the gospel and respond to it by believing, we are chosen. Since we are chosen, we can be certain that God loves us, and we have this assurance despite what we think of ourselves. After seeing how God chose us in Christ, Paul praised God for our redemption through Christ, which we will now move to the second part, redeemed by God in Christ. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. In today's society, when we use the word redeem, we think of credit card points or vouchers that we can exchange for goods and services. Those of us who use an app to pay for food may be rewarded with a coupon that entitles us to free drink, which we can redeem the next time we go out to eat. I myself have this FairPrice app, and whenever I buy grocery, I will get a free cup of drinks the next time I go to Kopitiam. And I believe some of you all have this app too. But in the Bible, the word redeem is used to refer to buying back something or paying off a debt. In ancient times, people who became so poor or indebted could end up as someone's slaves. But they can regain their freedom when they themselves or someone else comes to redeem them. That is, pay off the debts that they owe. In the case of God, it was Jesus who came and paid off the debt of our sin and set us free to be God's people instead of remaining slaves to sin. Jesus redeemed us from our sins and set us free. This was what we could not do for ourselves. This is what we could not do for ourselves. We were powerless to save ourselves, and so God stepped in and paid the price for us. What did Jesus do? Notice the words in verse 7. In him we have redemption in his blood. The penalty for sin against God is death. Jesus came to take our place and paid the debt for us by dying on our behalf. This was how we are redeemed. In our redemption, our sins are forgiven. This refers to our sins, past, present, and future. Let me take a moment to answer a question that I am sure comes to your mind. If our sins have been forgiven, then why do we still confess our sins? If our sins have been forgiven, why do we still confess our sins? Let me say that when Jesus redeems us and God forgives our sins, we are brought into a relationship with God. He has adopted us as his children. However, while we continue in our earthly journey, we sometimes still commit sins. When we do, we disrupt our fellowship with God. When we confess our sins regularly, we show that we want to return to fellowship with God. We do not stop being his children when we sin. We do not stop being his children when we sin. Confession is our way of admitting that our sinful choices have caused tension in our relationship with God, and we want to resolve that. In God's redemption, Paul says that God reveals to us the mystery of his will as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. He does not tell us what this mystery is just yet. We will find out in the later chapters. But we know that it is part of God's plan for all time in uniting all things in Christ. We have to look at this from the time of creation. Adam and Eve were living in God's presence. However, when sin entered the world, and corrupted everything. God expelled Adam and Eve in order to separate himself from them. He did so in order to save them because in his holy presence, nothing sinful could exist and Adam and Eve would perish in their sinful condition before God. However, human beings continue to sin and spiral down. Eventually, God scattered them all over the world, speaking different languages. And in this way, human beings were divided. But God's plan has been to redeem and unite all things back to Him. It is the unity of all believers to God, where in the fullness of time, there will be no more separation between God and man. God's plan is to redeem us for Himself. In Ephesians 1, we see that it is a plan that began from before the foundation of the world, and it will come to completion in the fullness of time. It is a massive plan, bigger than anything the world has ever known. No other plan can compare with it. No other plan can get us as far as it can. Therefore, we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves one important question. Are we with God in His plan? Are we with God in His plan? The gospel of God's salvation in Jesus has come to us. Have we accepted it yet? Since God has redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus for His plan, may we consider how we live our life as His children or to even accept Him into our life. With that, we now move into the blessing that we will receive in future. We are now into the third part of this passage, blessed in Christ for our inheritance. Christians have an inheritance from God. In ordinary language, an inheritance is a word that we use in relation to wills and estates. When a person dies and he leaves behind money and property, he may have written a will in which he leaves instruction on how his estate should be distributed. Persons who benefit from his estate distribution received a gift. We call such a gift an inheritance. In Ephesians 1, Paul says that Christians have obtained an inheritance from God. It is called an inheritance because Jesus had died to make that gift possible. The full extent of the inheritance has not yet been given to us, but it has been guaranteed to us by the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this inheritance refers to eternal life in Christ. Earlier this year, we saw in the book of Revelation glimpses of what life in heaven looks like. That is the inheritance of all Christians. God's plan is that all who have been chosen in Christ will get to experience and enjoy an eternity with Him. This is the reason that I asked the question earlier. Are we with God in His plan? Since God has an inheritance for us, we can have the assurance of our security in Him. As I begin in a sermon with being chosen and shared the story of Tian being adopted, I would like us to see that adoption and inheritance goes hand in hand, which is found in our passage today. When Tian is adopted by her adoptive parents, she has the legal right to her adoptive parents' inheritance. The adoptive system in Singapore does not differentiate inheritance of an adopted child or a biological child to the same set of parents. So regardless of whether you are an adopted child or a biological child to the same sex of parent, there is no difference in your shares of inheritance. Brothers and sisters, we are God's chosen people, redeemed in Christ with a guaranteed inheritance that is everlasting. And it is in love that God has lavishly poured out accordingly to his plan. It is God who initiated this relationship, this love relationship with you. What is your response to God's blessing in your life? I have some reflection questions for us. Since you responded to God and has accepted by him as his child, are you living accordingly to his plan, praising him in your life, being a testimony for God to others? If not, what is hindering you from living out God's plan in your life? Will you surrender to God? If you are hearing this sermon, those at home for the first time, or those over here, God is waiting for you to make a response to his choice of you being his child. Will you invite Jesus into your life now? I'll give us some time to reflect on this question. You can do it alone, or you can do it with your neighbor beside you, and I'll close us in prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Our God and Father, we give thanks and we praise you for the marvelous work they have done in our lives of choosing us before the foundation of the world. And that you have redeemed us in Christ and has given us an inheritance in Christ. Father, such great acts of love can never be found in this world. And we praise you. We praise you for how you lavishly poured it out into our lives so that we can call you our Father. Father, we also want to pray for those who have not accepted you, who are hearing this message for the first time, that they will come to receive you, believe in you, so that they can be called your children. We thank you for hearing our prayer and for the marvelous work you have done in our life. This we give thanks and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.